Blog Talk Radio.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this. But every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face. That their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of.
And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off their chip.
That's right. The Real ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all.
If anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off their chip.
That's right, microchips. In 2005, Congress, under the pretense of immigration control and the so-called war on terrorism, passed the Real ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all new American passports. And the final step is the implanted chip, which many people have already been manipulated into accepting under different pretenses.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their bodies.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
In the end, everybody will be locked into a monitored control grid where every single action you perform is documented. And if you get out of line, they can just turn off your chip, for at that point in time, every single aspect of society will revolve around interactions with the chips. This is the picture that is painted for the future if you open your eyes to see it. A centralized one-world economy where everyone's moves and everyone's transactions are tracked and monitored, all rights removed. The most incredible aspect of all. These totalitarian elements will not be forced upon the people. The people will demand them. For the social manipulation of society through the generation of fear and division has completely detached humans from their sense of power and reality. A process which has been going on for centuries, if not millennia. Religion, patriotism, race, wealth, class, and every other form of arbitrary, separatist identification, thus conceit, has served to create a controlled population, utterly malleable in the hands of the few. Divide and conquer is the motto, and as long as people continue to see themselves as separate from everything else, they lend themselves to being completely enslaved. The men behind the curtain know this, and they also know that if people ever realize the truth of their relationship to nature, and the truth of their personal power, the entire manufactured zeitgeist they prey upon will collapse like a house of cards.
The whole system that we live in drills into us that we're powerless, that we're weak, that our society is evil, that it's fragmented, etc., and so forth. It's all a big, fat lie. We are powerful, beautiful, extraordinary. There is no reason why we cannot understand who we truly are, where we are going. There is no reason why the average individual cannot be fully empowered. We are incredibly powerful beings.
Now, I think I spent 30 years of my life, in the first 30, trying to become something. I wanted to become good at things. I wanted to become good at tennis. I wanted to become good at school and grades and everything I kind of viewed in that perspective. I'm not okay the way I am, but if I got good at things, I realized that I had the game wrong. The game was to find out what I already was.
For individual differences to stand out. So you look at each person, the immediate hit is brighter, dumber, older, younger, richer, poorer, and we make all these dimensional distinctions, put them in categories and treat them that way. And we get so that we only see others as separate from ourselves in the ways in which they're separate. And one of the dramatic characteristics of experience is being with another person and suddenly seeing the ways in which they are like you, not different from you. And experiencing the fact that which is essence in you and which is essence in me is indeed one. The understanding that there is no other. It is all one. And I wasn't born Richard Alpert. I was just born as a human being. And then I learned this whole business of who I am and whether I'm good or bad or achieving or not. All that's learned along the way.
Like a ride in an amusement park. And when you go on it, you think it's real,
because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored.
And it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride?
And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry.
Don't be afraid ever. Because this is just a ride. And we kill those people.
Shut him up! I've got a lot invested in this ride! Shut him up!
Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account
and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we'll kill those good guys
and try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok?
But it doesn't matter. Because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want.
It's only the choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money.
Just a choice right now between fear and love.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Joseph Gibson. This is Blog Talk Radio. We are 100% live. I hope you like that little introduction there. I'll probably play that a couple more times throughout the next couple weeks. I like to choose a few different introductions. I don't like to keep playing the same thing over and over because some of you who log on early, you've heard it already. But that one there is pretty good. I like that there at the end. Life is like a ride. You know, when we're children, you know, you go to the amusement park or you go to the carnival or the local bazaar and you're on the ride and it's fun, it's fast, it feels real, it's fun, it's colory, like Bill Hicks says there. And then some of us have been on that ride for a long time. We never grown up. And finally we grow up. And that person comes to us and says, hey, it's just a ride. Don't worry. But you see, what's that? What do they say after that? Shut up. Then the people come and they kill that person that warns people and tells them about life and what life really is. Shut up. We got a lot invested in this ride. So that's all life really is, a ride. Nothing's real. You think it's real. Money's not real. You're all chasing money. Fake. Fake money. It's not real. If you had any real money, you'd have gold and silver in your closet or stashed under your bed or hidden someplace in a vault. That's real money. You want to know why gold and silver is real money? Because gold and silver was created by sweat, blood, sweat, and tears. It's a physical asset. It's physical. It weighs something. It's there. It came from the earth. A Federal Reserve note did not come from the earth. It's man-made. It's a piece of paper. It weighs nothing. The $1 bill weighs the same as a $20 bill. The $20 bill weighs the same as a $100 bill. It's a piece of paper with dye on it. It's not real. It's fake. Not going to last. Okay? So those of you who hoard your dollar bills thinking that you're somebody important because you've got a lot of dollar bills in your closet, yeah, maybe today you are. But when those dollar bills are no longer valid or any good, because remember, by the click of a keyboard or the pickup of a phone or the signature of a piece of paper, those dollar bills could be null and void tomorrow. And all your blood, sweat, and tears, all that hard work you've done is gone. Because someone else said they're not worth anything. But if you had 30 ounces of gold stacked away in your closet, guess what? It's real. It doesn't matter what Obama says. It doesn't matter what Putin says over in Russia. It doesn't matter what anyone says because gold is gold. And everyone wants gold and silver. You can always trade with gold and silver. Everyone wants, because it's a physical asset from the earth. Since the beginning of mankind, people have bartered with gold and silver. Gold and silver are important commodities. Yes, the value was adjusted by man on Wall Street. An ounce of gold is worth $1,600 today, maybe $1,200 tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. However, the fact of the matter is, if you own gold coins and silver coins, Federal Reserve notes that you have, your $1 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill, no longer are of value. I assure you that your gold coins will be worth something at the supermarket down the road or to your next door neighbor. okay? They'll always be worth something. And that's why gold and silver are called legal tender according to the United States Constitution. Before, the United States was hijacked by the private international bankers who created the Federal Reserve Act of the year 1913. If you have ever tried to read a book, the most important book, I believe, other than the Bible, you should read would be The Creature from Jekyll Island. It explains the creation of the Federal Reserve in fine detail and explains to you what Federal Reserve actually stands for and why we're in a situation we are today when we have to go with our phony baloney dollar bills to the grocery store to pay for food or to buy equipment or to pay for a car or what have you, or anything you want to buy. The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffith is a very important book for all of you to read. So instead of posting selfies tonight on Facebook, pick up a copy of The Creature from Jekyll Island. We may, in the next couple weeks, broadcast segments of that book for those of you who want to know about the Federal Reserve. And those of you who don't, we'll go back to doing what you're doing because, you know, you really should read this book, in my opinion. And to be honest with you, it applies to the facts to which we live today, the facts of life. Because everyone wants money. Everyone needs money to survive. And when I mean my money are Federal Reserve notes. Your $1, your $5, your $10, your $20, your $50, and your $100 bills. Everyone wants them. They'll kill you for it. Everyone loves it. They die over it. I mean, I just don't know what else to say. We all want money. We all have to have it, right? We beg for it. We work for it, for goodness sake. We'll go out and work 40 hours a week, 60 hours a week to get it, to get those Federal Reserve notes. But it's not money. But we still do it, don't we? Don't we? Pretty funny, huh? When you think about it. Why do we work for it when it's not really money? Because we're led to believe it is really money. Well, some of you may be saying, hey, this guy's nuts. What's he talking about? Well, hey, I can't explain it all to you in a 60-minute show because that's what this show is tonight, 60 minutes. We got 41 minutes left. I cannot explain it to you in that much time. If you are above the age of 40 and you do not know anything about what money really is and you don't know anything about the Federal Reserve, then you know what? Go back to your rabbit hole. Don't listen to me any longer because everything I pretty much say really doesn't matter to you because you're lost, friend. You are lost. You've got a lot of catching up to do. But those of you who are younger and you're trying to figure out what I'm talking about, stay on the right path. Just don't listen to me. Go back and investigate. Like I said, instead of posting selfies on Facebook or going to your hip-hop rap concert later on or whatever the hell you do for entertainment or playing your video game, start paying attention. Because what is the most important thing you need every single day to survive? Money. So you need to learn about what real money is. And you need to understand how money rules the world. And you need to understand what money rules the world. You need to understand real money. You need to understand what, where, how, and why you need the certain money you do today and what money you're going to need tomorrow. Okay? Because I guarantee you, those little pieces of paper you have in your pocket, if you have any at all, are not going to be exchangeable notes sometime in the future, the way things are going. Haven't we seen this past week the stock market lost its largest loss in the history of the stock market this week. And not many people are talking about it. Just goes to show you, when that economy crashes and those grocery stores are empty and those ports off the shore are not receiving goods anymore from China and across the world, you're going to be lost. So you need to wake up and pay attention. Am I 100% prepared sitting here talking to you? No. But I know what's going on. Yes, I've taken some precautions. I'm very much able to protect myself. I do have tangible assets on hand to trade with. I have solid money, coins, to trade and barter with. I have access to water. Do you? Do you? I have a little bit of food on hand. So if things do go downhill, like many people are saying over the past 5 years, they are, and a lot of people have been talking about it. More than when, let's put it this way, when I was in ninth grade, when I was 15 and 16 and 17, 18 years old, topics like this were not being discussed, okay? But today they are. So what's that tell you? Wake up. If there's anyone out there who has a question and wants to participate tonight, phone number 657-383-0616, press 1, and you'll be connected with me. I know it's Friday evening. There's not many people out there tonight. We do have a few callers on the line. I'm going to go ahead and scan the line. I got about 15 people on the line tonight. I only have 4 in the chat box. I don't know how many in the smartphones. But let me go ahead and scan the phone numbers here. And I do have one right now. Okay, good. 203-684. I'll put him on. It's one of my supporters. Hello. You're on the air live.
Hi there. This is Al Sharpton. How are you this evening? I'm going somewhere with this. It's not really Al Sharpton. It's Joe from Meriden. But I'm going somewhere with this. So just bear with me. By the way, The Creature from Jekyll Island, I have that in audio format. And you could get it today or tomorrow. But after that, you're probably going to be out of luck. So if you want to download it, you can go to myfilefarm.com/free. And you'll be able to download a copy of The Creature from Jekyll Island in audio format. And I have acknowledgement from the author that I can do this, so it is legal to do. Anyway.
Good. Hey, that's great. Thanks.
Anyway, the largest loss, you said, that's not true because in the stock market. Because in 2008, 2009, when we were having this big crisis, I sat and I watched the stock market drop on screen by like 5,000 points in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes or something. And, of course, they said it was fake and it wasn't true, and they pumped it back up. But that was probably the big loss right there, and they just artificially inflated it back to what it was. But right on TV, don't take me literally here, but it was thousands of points that it dropped in a matter of a couple of minutes. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was 8,000 and it dropped to 4. I don't know, but that was the biggest drop. They blamed it on a computer glitch or something, but you know, I don't believe that either. And I'm going somewhere with this. No, the dollar isn't going to last. All fiat currency, it never lasts. And there's always something else. And that's probably why they're doing debit cards now and everything to get you away from the dollar, because they don't even want to print them anymore. And you started opening with life is just a ride. And that's exactly what it is. And again, I'm going somewhere with this. This whole spiel on what I'm saying, I'm actually getting to some points. Gold fluctuates. It certainly does. But you know, you get an ounce of gold today, you can buy the same thing today that you could have bought 100 years ago with the same ounce of gold. But if you took the dollar equivalent of 100 years ago, you can't buy anything with it today. So
yeah,
gold fluctuates, yes, right. Dollars don't last. So, you know, so you, if you want to collect something and you want to protect yourself, you can collect coins, because pennies are made out of zinc. They're not made out of copper anymore, because any penny before 1982, I haven't been checking scrap prices in some time, but before 1982, any penny is worth 3 cents as scrap metal. So you could make money that way. And nickels are partly made out of nickel, and new pennies are made out of zinc, and zinc is profitable as well. I used to do scrap, get paid for scrap in cash. When I took scrap down to the mill, they don't give you a check, because you're giving them something of value. You're giving them metal. You're giving them copper, you're giving them iron or whatever it may be. That's something of value, and you get paid in cash for it. You don't get paid a check, because at least with cash you can do something with it. The only thing you can do with a check is lose it, and that's the only thing you could do. But, you know, anyway, it's getting to be cold outside, so, you know, I've got the kerosene heater for the garage ready to go. You know, it's not cold out yet, but it's coming. I use it for heat in the wintertime out in the garage. I also have propane. You know, it burns much hotter than the kerosene heater. But I have to go farther to pick up the propane, and it comes in tanks and all that. You know, and the burning temperature of kerosene, by the way, the open flame burning temperature of the kerosene is around 600 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's without any black smoke coming out of it. If you see black smoke coming out of it, the temperature is even lower, because that means it's incomplete combustion. So it's around 600-700 degrees inside of a kerosene heater. And you know what? Never once has my kerosene heater melted. I don't know why. I've been using it for years, and it's in the same condition as when I bought it. It never melted. But, you know, you got all these pictures on the Internet. You've got these aluminum planes that are flying through 6 inches of concrete and 47 steel towers to come out the other side without a scratch on it, that supposedly spill kerosene in there from the tanks that are billowing black smoke that's burning at less than 600 degrees Fahrenheit, melting iron that melts at 3,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I'm not saying those towers didn't come down. What I'm saying is there's something wrong with this picture. If you looked on the TV, when they showed that plane coming in to hit the World Trade Centers, you had four news stations superimposed on your TV screen, CNN, Fox, ABC, or whatever. Three of them showed some white dot coming down. These are live shots. They all said it live. Matter of fact, I saved all the images. They say it live. Three of the shots show a dot going across the screen. You can't figure out what the dot is. But why didn't the other live shot show the same dot? There was nothing there. And the backgrounds are all different. One background is nice and clear, and another background's all cloudy. But this is a live shot. There's something wrong with this entire picture. I went on last night about these other pictures, this shooting and everything. You know, I'm not saying none of this didn't happen. I'm not a conspiracy theorist like that. But what I am saying is that we're being lied to. These pictures are photoshopped. The TV movie that you saw on TV on September 11th, that was a movie. That wasn't real. It was all fake. We know the buildings came down, but what we don't know is why they came down, and they're not going to tell us. Just like JFK, you're never going to find out the truth, and you're never going to find out the truth to any of this. The Boston bombing, you know, they surrounded a 10-block area around where he was, and they were doing a good search. Where was he? Hiding in a boat 2 houses down from his house. Come on. There's something wrong with everything that's going on. These people aren't this stupid. But that's my rant for this evening, I guess.
Well, that was pretty good. Well, I got one of our other supporters who has a question, too, so we'll go ahead and put her on. 336-349, and maybe you can add to that comment that Joe just had, or my opening. Go ahead, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Bridget from Reedsville, North Carolina.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay.
Hello.
Yes, I can add to what he just talked about. There's definitely something wrong with the picture when it comes to 9/11, simply because Building 7 went down and it was never hit by a plane. So, obviously, there were explosives in the bottom of the buildings. That's
eight
why
buildings.
When the towers drop, they drop straight down.
Eight buildings fell down that day.
Eight 8 buildings fell down that day. Joe was trying to interrupt you there, trying to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. You were talking, right? But I just wanted to correct you. 8 buildings came down that day.
Yeah, but I know I use Building 7 as just an example. I know 8 came down, but just because most people don't realize that other buildings that weren't hit by planes came down. And it's obvious that there was explosives in the bottom of the buildings because, like I said, they dropped straight down. Usually that happens in a demolition drop. They'll drop straight down like that. I mean, it's just because if the planes hit in the middle and that's what caused them to fall, then it seems like they would have fell over, not straight down. And as far as the footage, yeah, it looks like it's been changed, altered, to make you see what they want you to see, which is what they always do.
Exactly.
When it comes to the shooting.
There are no clear pictures of anything. You say, oh, no, I've seen people jumping. No, you've seen images. You can't see anything clear. So you may have seen images moving from the edge of the building. But like I said, first of all, what you saw on TV, it was a movie. They can make it appear like anything they want. Not that the buildings didn't come down, because they did come down. But what we're being shown and what we're being told is a lie.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I agree, because some of the pictures that you see with Sandy Hook are they're Photoshop. I mean, one of the girl's legs is missing. I mean, one of her things are weird in the picture. I mean, they're just off. I mean, it's just that whole thing is off. And, you know, people want to say, oh, well, they couldn't pull this stuff off. Yeah, they could, and it takes less people than you think it does, because all they got to do is keep people at a distance. And that's what they did at Sandy Hook. Nobody was allowed up there, but whoever they had that already knew what they were doing.
Right, exactly. I'm not saying none of this stuff didn't happen, because I wasn't there and I don't know. And what I'm saying, I can't speak absolutely because I don't know the absolute truth. But what I am saying is what I know. And none of it is right. All of it is faked in one way or another. And why would you fake pictures of that child with a missing leg or the missing arm or whatever it was I said last night? Because you know what? It's just not right. Why not,
yeah.
You know, there's something wrong from the word go with everything. What is it? Is it about ratings? Is it about money? Is it about power? You know, you just don't know. When that Sandy Hook first came out, supposedly there was a guy running around in the woods. And that quickly disappeared real quickly. I haven't heard much about that one at all.
Well, I haven't heard nothing about what you're talking about. What's this with a guy, with a kid with his leg missing? What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Well, the photographs of the children from Sandy Hook, photographs were shown of the children with their parents at a later date. And they've all been photoshopped, manipulated. I was talking about EXIF data last night, which shows who made the picture, where it was taken, when it was taken. All the information that could possibly go into a picture to identify it is included in every JPEG. But you can go in there and change it and manipulate it. But the pictures that are shown are all photoshopped. And one of the pictures, they actually made a mistake and forgot to put the girl's leg in or forgot to put the girl's arm in. You know,
really?
To make it. Yes, exactly. And that's what I'm not saying Sandy Hook didn't happen. What I'm saying is we, the people, not the citizens, we, the people, are being lied to by the media. And I keep telling everybody, turn off your TV set. Stop listening to the radio. I don't mean it literally. What I mean is, take everything with a grain of salt because you're being lied to.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
you're
basically saying what I believe. Don't just automatically believe what they tell you. Whatever story they want to feed you, you can't automatically believe it. You should always do your own research. Anyway,
exactly. You know,
it's
neuro-linguistic programming. Fear mongering. You know, oh no, we're having a hurricane. What's the first thing everybody's going to do? Run to the store, buy all the milk and bread. You know what? So that's what I'm saying. They put these news stories on, you know, guns are no good. They get everybody in an uproar all the time when actually nothing really changes ever.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. I agree with you there. I mean, it just doesn't sound right, you know. It just doesn't seem right, the story that they are putting out. It just doesn't seem to be factual, you know.
And
that's right.
About the man that you were talking about, the man with Sandy Hook that was running around outside the school.
Yeah.
And you never heard about it again. Supposedly,
right.
There were two, actually. One of them was supposedly supposed to be a parent of one of the children. He was going to make gingerbread houses, but he was running away from the building. Now, logically, if your child's in there and you're here shooting, you're not going to be running away from the building. You're going to be running towards the building. And then the other one was supposed to be an off-duty
tactical officer. He comes from Newtown, Connecticut. You know, he comes from Newtown, Connecticut. They do weird things, you know, in Newtown. So we can just chalk it up that he was a little bit crazy. No, you're actually right. See, a normal person wouldn't do what they said he did. Go ahead.
But yeah, and the other one was supposed to be like an off-duty tactical police officer, which also doesn't make any sense why he would run away from the building. Because obviously, even if he's off duty, he's an officer. He could help. So none of that makes sense, and it's why the story. You know, it's just another hole in the story. There's many of them. If you take time to research it.
That's right. There is many of them. And like I said this is my third night. I'm saying the same thing. And if this doesn't make people go, everyone involved in a JFK is dead. Everyone involved in Benghazi is dead. Mr. Vance, the Connecticut State Police Sergeant, who was in charge of all of this, he's no longer in charge. He was in charge of the Sandy Hook, in charge of the state police as a spokesperson. Now he's in charge of traffic. I mean, come on,
yeah.
You know? Right. There's something wrong with this entire picture from the word go.
No, I agree. But anyway, before, I just don't want to interrupt you guys, but tonight I promised Peter asked me to check in with him tonight because he had something he wanted to contribute. So he asked me to give him a call. I don't know why he can't call in, but I guess he said he had problems. So I'm going to go ahead and give him a call. And we all know Peter. Peter's a supporter of the show also. He doesn't call in routinely, but so that's why I'll give him the courtesy of going ahead and calling him since he stated he had problems. So I'm going to try to get him on the line right now, live.
Live.
Hello. Hey, Peter, how you doing? You're live on the air on Understanding the Times in Which We Live In. I've got two guests on the line that you know of course. I have Joe from Meriden, Connecticut, and I have Bridget from Reidsville, North Carolina, and I got several other callers on the line. And I told them I would call you tonight because, you know, you said you had some problems calling in last time. And it's more convenient for me to just call you because we all live busy lives. So I figured I'd check in with you tonight. It's Friday evening. It's a little bit late here on the East Coast. But I figured I'd give you the floor for a little while. What's going on?
Well, I appreciate that, Brother Joe. How you doing? Hello, Bridget and Joe up there in Meriden, Connecticut. Was it hot in Connecticut as it was out here in California today?
No, nah, it's not bad in Connecticut anymore. It's still summertime, more or less, but it's, you know, 80, 82 or something. It's not bad.
Oh, 82 is hot out here for us. we're Southern California. We're used to that 72, 73, 75 degree weather. Get up above 80, people are dying. Why don't you turn the air conditioner on in the church? It's killing.
Well, anyway,
but,
Peter, what's the word?
Well, you know, church is growing well and working on getting some CDs together and things like that. What was the topic of your program tonight?
Well, not to bypass myself on the topic, but maybe Joe and Meriden there can give you some advice. Joe and Meriden, Peter is making CD labels for his CD. He's putting all his shows on CD. and he's developing labels, and he went to Staples or someplace tonight to buy labels. What advice do you have? He's using Avery, too, to make his labels. So what advice do you have for him about making CD labels? Because I know you're an expert on making DVD labels.
Making labels for CDs or DVDs. My take on that is don't. Don't do labels. Labels come off. Labels jam people's DVD players, and they cause all kinds of havoc and problems. In today's day and age, it would be more cost-effective, and you could do a much nicer job if you bought a printer and just printed right on printable inkjet DVDs or CDs or whatever you're doing.
So don't put the label. So don't put the label on the DVD. Peter, can you explain exactly what you're doing? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Maybe he's not there anymore.
Peter, are you there? I wonder what happened. I guess I lost him.
He bought too many labels. He doesn't want to hear me now.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. I'll try calling him back. Maybe it was my fault. I mean, but we only got 18 minutes left, so we got a little time to kill here. So I'll try calling him back and seeing what happened. And because that he was telling me he was working on his DVD label, so we'll see what happens here. Filing.
Find out how many he's doing as well.
Yeah. Peter, are you on the line? Yes, Joe. Yeah, what happened? You got disconnected on me. What happened?
I don't know. Call dropped.
Okay, well, all right. Well, anyway, you're on. We were talking about your CD labels there, and my father had a question for you. What are you putting the labels on the CD, or are you just, I mean, how? What kind of labels are you getting for your CDs for your show?
Yeah, I'm just using, you know, we're not mass producing, so, you know, I'll buy them 40 in a package and print them out, you know, use Avery and just print them out.
And you're putting them on the DVD, on the CD, correct?
Correct.
And, well, Joe was talking about.
The problem with labels is they come off, they jam people's players, and they cause it to rotate inconsistently out of balance. In today's day and age, it'd be more worthwhile to buy yourself an inkjet printer and print directly on an inkjet printable CD or DVD.
Mm-hmm. Well, how's that?
You know what? You're right. You're right. What's an inkjet printer cost?
Well, this is going to be a long story. First of all, the printable CD, DVD, inkjet technology is owned by Epson. So, but there are other older HP printers out there that will print on CDs or DVDs. But if you want to get a new printer and you're willing to spend a couple $100, most of the Epsons will print on CDs or DVDs. And you're looking at $225 to $400, depending on what you do.
Wow.
But in the long run that would save him money instead of going out and buying labels and making people angry with him because he's sending out CDs for his church or for his radio show, and he sends me a CD and it jams up on my player, I'm not going to be too happy.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. You've got to eliminate all these possibilities. The only problem with inkjet printers, let me tell you the other alternative, and then I'll tell you the problem with inkjet printers and what you're going to need to do. The alternative is to buy yourself a thermal printer. Go look for an R-Image or Rimage, R-I-M-A-G-E, but you're going to spend thousands of dollars. That's a thermal printer, just like you buy in a store. You can also go for the Bravo printers, which are automated. It picks a disc up, it'll actually copy it, and it'll put it in another bin for you, but you're looking at $1,000 for that or more. Inkjet printers are very good, and they're very cheap, like I said, $200, $300, $400. The problem is they generally come with dye-based ink, And dye-based ink means it's not waterproof or water-resistant. So you could switch that. You could switch the cartridges or refill them yourself with pigment-based ink, and therefore they're water-resistant or waterproof. And you can also buy other discs called water shield discs, and they're a little bit more expensive than regular discs, but it holds the ink much better. And if you combine that with the pigment-based inks, you'll have a superior product.
Well, he's not trying to make a flimsy product. What he's trying to do is just trying to make, you know, put everything on CD and send it out to his people. But you're right. You don't want to send a piece of garbage CD out for, you know, for your church or for your radio program. But, Peter, since we're kind of short on time here, the topic of the program tonight, I played an introduction that basically said at the end where it caught a couple people's attention tonight. They called in and they talked about it. Is that, you know, I never let you listen to that, but I played an introduction tonight where you had Bill Hicks, and we were talking about the Federal Reserve and whatnot, and Edward G. Griffith, the creation of money, and basically we were talking about life is just a ride. And basically what he said was, is life is, you know when you're young, you go to that amusement park, and you're on that big ride, and it feels so good, it's bright, the sounds are real, and some people, they stay on that ride for a long time. And now, we're reflecting back on life here. It's not just a ride, but we're reflecting and we're also taking into, like, consideration that life is just a ride. And when we're young, we feel so young, free, and wild, and life is just a ride. But yet, this person comes along and teaches us about reality. And you know what? Hey, it's just a ride. It's not real. What you're doing and what you're living in life is not real. But yet, those people we kill, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, all these people who are very, very smart but never got the spiritual taste or education of what life really was about. Do you get where I'm kind of going here?
Yeah.
Okay. And what I'm trying to say is that life is just a ride, and we're here, and then one moment we're not. So what do we make of reality? Well, I mean, I know we're kind of getting dimensional here, and it's kind of hard to really talk about it real quick because I know we're short for time. I kind of, you know, did the show really short tonight. We only got about 12 minutes left. But what's your take on life? What should we grasp out of life? As a human being, as a Christian, as a person, or as a human being, what should we grasp, Peter, real quick, out of life, in your opinion, from your experience in life?
Well, I don't think we should hold on to too much in this life because, you know, eternity is a long time. We're going to be spending a lot more time off the earth than we've been on the earth. And I think that we shouldn't go through life so focused on the things in this world, that we're just sojourners, we're just passing through, and really none of it belongs to us anyway. You know, we were put in the Garden of Eden, Adam was put in the Garden of Eden for God's pleasure, just like you put a plant in your front lawn for your pleasure. And none of it belonged to him. It all belongs to God anyway.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, we're sojourners here, and the problem is that we get too earthly focused in life, and when we get too earthly focused, then we get caught up in the traps of life. And yeah, listen, you should have joy in your heart. You should be able to, you know, that people think they become Christians and then they never have a problem. But the truth is that you become a Christian and you have the peace of God and the joy of God to help you get through the trials and troubles. You're going to have troubles whether you're a Christian or you're not. But at least you have the Lord to help you through those times. And so the idea is don't get too focused on the material things of this world.
And you know what, I kind of touched on that the other night when I did my opening. I talked about someone on their deathbed. You're on your deathbed. Are you worried about your electric bill? Are you worried about little Joey going to school in the morning? Are you worried about Peter out in California? Are you worried about waxing my car? Are you worried about how I'm going to make this month's mortgage? No. What are you worried about when you're on your deathbed? You're worried about one thing, where you are going. You know, meeting your maker and understanding what you had done throughout your life. Was it right? Was it wrong? And am I going to the right place? That's how I see it, and how I've experienced, and what I've seen, and what I've witnessed people being on their deathbed. Maybe you've seen something different, or maybe you have some other insight than I do. You can explain it better than I, but someone who was on their deathbed is not worrying about their electric bill. Am I right or wrong?
Not at all.
Let me say one thing.
You're absolutely correct. People are concerned about the future. What's next?
Yeah.
Where do I go now?
Yeah,
let me jump in here for a second.
I'd rather settle that right now, you know, with the Lord, than wonder where I'm going. At least I want to know where I'm going.
True. Well, you know where you're going. Because if you believe in your heart, you know, what you really truly believe and what you preached all your life, then you know where you're going. But Joe, what's your take on that?
Well, one thing I want to jump in here before you hang up. You know when I started, I said, my name is Al Sharpton. I said, I'm going somewhere with this. And I went through all about the doctored photos, all about John F. Kennedy, all about kerosene, how it doesn't melt my heater, but yet it melts solid steel columns that were meant not to burn, all about the media manipulation. And now Peter's telling you, and he's absolutely right, you know, don't worry about what's going on. You know, worry about yourself, because we haven't been here that long. And that's where I'm going with this, telling you to turn off your TV sets. Don't pay attention to this nonsense. Live your life and move on, because you've got other things to worry about except the lies that you're being told. And that's what we're being lied to.
That's true.
Amen.
Hey, Peter, I'm going to go ahead and let you close it out. If you want to plug your church, plug your radio show, because I only got about 8 minutes left. So go ahead and close it out for me, will you?
Well, I'm Dr. Ventura, sound doctor and broadcast Thursday night, Blogspot Radio. Nathan on the spot, and we just planted a church down here in Imperial Beach, California, called Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach. If you're in this area, you're welcome to visit us. If you just want to talk, you can reach me at my email, ventura.peter77@gmail.com, or you can go online and leave a message with Nathan. Nathan on the spot, love to have you join us. And see what the Lord will do. We're doing currently a series study on the Christian home. And a lot of people that never grew up in a Christian home and really don't know what a Christian home is supposed to be, a biblical Christian home, not the home that somebody says they're holy in. And I want to thank you, Joe, for that opportunity just to throw a plug in for the church. I'm grateful that you gave me this call tonight. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always a pleasure to listen to your wisdom. Joe up there in Connecticut, it's a joy to hear your voice again and to hear what you have to say. What you said is correct. Throw that glass toilet into the sewer. That's where it belongs. And Bridget, Lord bless you. And Lord bless you all and your listening audience. And thank you again, Joe. And, you know, give us a call sometime. We'd like to hear from you on the Sound Doctrine broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Bye,
I will,
Peter.
Yeah, and thanks, Joe, and thanks, Peter. I appreciate you taking my call tonight, and it's always a pleasure to hear your knowledge and wisdom and your opinion about things. Like I said, we connect, and I think we make good chemistry on the radio because, hey, that's where I started. I started with you, and now I'm over here, and I got quite a following going, and you're right. Hey, on Thursday night at 9 p.m., listen to Peter because, you know, he's on the other side, and that's where I originally started. Well, I'll go ahead and wrap it up, and God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for your support, and I hope you tune in Sunday night at 8:30 p.m., and like I said, God bless. I hope you share, because everyone's opinion matters, everyone's comments matter, and what you have to say is important to me and each and every one of us, and we will respect your opinions and your values. And we do need God in America again. And that's why I'm going to close out with that song. God bless.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson.
Good night.
Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay. Names synonymous with the spirit of our country. Founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, "You need God in America again." Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, "We've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart." These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, "You can't have national morality apart from religious principle," and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is put God in America again.
The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again.
Abe Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that Word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vex us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is going to fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. America to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand, and send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from, and let the Word of God revive our dying land. For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all His glory, and every eye shall see Him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power is coming on us, to boldly tell the world you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers. Because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms. And start handing out the Word of God in school. The only hope for America.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. God bless. My name is Joseph Gibson. Please purchase a copy of my book if you want to know about me, why I have this show, and the thoughts I believe, and why the things I say. Pick up a copy of my book, Behind the Walls, by Joel Hodnett. Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. You can find it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, every major book-selling site across the country. You will find it. Type it into your browser, Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. Thank you. God bless each and every one of you. I hope you tune in Sunday night, 8:30 p.m. on the East Coast.
Good night.